Well, good morning, and welcome to the Air Resources Board Compliance and Reporting Training for the Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction Regulation, also known as the Tractor Trailer Greenhouse Gas Regulation. We're going to be doing a presentation today for you, doing some overview training and also some reporting training. My name is Yvonne Sanchez. I'm with the Mobile Source Control Division on Road Heavy Duty Diesel Section, and I'll be providing the overview today for the regulation. We also have David Chen, manager of the Emission Research Section. He's going to be doing the reporting portion of our presentation today. And we also have Stephen Lemieux, manager of the On-Road Heavy Duty Diesel Section, with us today, who's going to be supporting us and providing responses to some of the email questions. In terms of the email questions, we do have an email address for those of you who are viewing via webcast today. We are webcasting, just to let you know. ysanchez@arb.ca.gov is where you want to email your questions into if you have questions regarding any of our presentation today. And also, we'll be taking questions from those participating here that came in today as well. So just to let you know, we do have a few housekeeping issues that we need to go over before we get started. Please take a look at the exit in the room that's closest to you in terms of, in case we have an emergency, there are some exits to get out of the room. And also, if you need to use the restroom facilities, they're outside, down the hall, and to your left. We have the facilities in this building. Please silence your cell phones if you have any right now, either on mute or vibrate, so that we're not interrupted with cell phones. And if you didn't sign in and get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, we do have one available over on the table. We also have a lot of good information about our regulation over there as well in terms of fact sheets and information. So please make sure you pick up the information if you didn't get it yet on your way out today. Okay, so with that, I think we're going to go ahead on and get started. Okay, so our presentation today, there's an agenda also over on the table if you didn't get a copy, but we're going to be going over the regulation today. We're going to be doing the purpose of the regulation, the status of the regulation, also talk about applicability, the requirements for the regulation, and we're going to talk about the optional phase-in plans, which is one of the big ticket items for us right now. We do have a large compliance date coming up July 1st, 2011, if you plan to report for one of the options, the option two. So we're going to be talking about that today. We're also going to discuss some exemptions and provisions for the rule, current technologies, and also some funding assistance. And we'll end up talking with the reporting part of our presentation, where we're going to discuss the truck regulation upload compliance and reporting system called Truckers, where you're going to be reporting your database information. Okay, so the purpose of the regulation is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from tractor trailers. And as you can see with this slide here that I have up, the rule was developed to reduce emissions by improving aerodynamics and rolling resistance for tractors and trailers. So as you can see here, for tractors, we're talking about adding aerodynamic streamlined hoods, sleeper cab roof fairings, gap fairings, fuel tank fairings, aerodynamic bumpers, and mirrors. For trailer aerodynamics, we're talking about side skirts, front gap fairings, rear trailer fairings, and low rolling resistance tires. This regulation does incorporate an element of the US EPA SmartWay Transport Partnership Program, and it's going to be using the SmartWay equipment in order to reduce those greenhouse gas emissions in California by reducing the aerodynamic drag and the rolling resistance of those tractors and trailers that travel on the California highways. So we're going to be using SmartWay equipment in order to achieve compliance goals for this particular regulation. Okay, a little bit about the status of where we are with the regulation. It became effective January 1st of 2010, so it's been in effect for a while. You can find it in the California Code of Regulations. And we did go back to our board in December of 2010 to propose some additional modifications to the rule, and I'll talk a little bit about those later on in my presentation. Okay, so who does the regulation apply to? Where it applies to tractors pulling 53-foot or longer box-type trailers. So if your tractor doesn't pull 53-foot or longer box-type trailers, you're not subject to this particular regulation. It also applies to 53-foot or longer box-type trailers themselves, both the dry van and the refrigerated van trailers, also known as reefers. Persons that are responsible for compliance with this particular regulations are owner-operators, drivers, motor carriers, California-based brokers, and California-based shippers. And regardless of where that vehicle is registered, if it operates in California and it's an affected vehicle, it has to comply with the regulations here in California if it's operating on a California highway. So that includes both vehicles that are coming from Mexico, from Canada, and from any of the continental U.S. states that operate in California. You do have to comply with the rule, even though your vehicle isn't registered here. Okay, so what does the rule require? Well, it requires if you have a tractor, whether it's new or existing, you have to put on the SmartWay aerodynamic equipment and the low rolling resistance tires on it if it's a new tractor. And if it's an existing tractor, you have to use just the low rolling resistance tires. And I'll give you the time frames on what we define as a new and existing. And also for trailers, the same. We have to have the SmartWay aerodynamic equipment on the new and existing, and also using the SmartWay verified low rolling resistance tires. Okay, the rule also requires that if you want to take advantage of some of our optional extended phase-in plans for trailer fleets, or our exemptions, you'll have to register for those through our truckers database that I just mentioned earlier. And David's going to go over that later on in his presentation as to how you can register for that. You also need to register your storage trailers if you plan to have exempt storage trailers, and for any passes that the rule has, you can also register for those passes through our database system as well. Okay, two of the things that are kind of new for us that came about after we went back to the board in December is that we're going to be requiring California licensed dealers to retain records for selling and leasing of SmartWay vehicles and equipment. And we're also going to be requiring lessors who lease equipment to retain records as well and also provide disclosure language to lessees. So I'm going to go a little bit into that information later as well. Okay, so let's talk about tractor requirements. So for new tractor purchases, that would be 2011 and newer model year sleeper cab tractors. They have to be SmartWay certified. And a SmartWay certified tractor is one that's defined that has the SmartWay aerodynamics on it and low rolling resistance tires. So that's a SmartWay certified tractor package that has both the aerodynamics and the low rolling resistance tires. And so if you purchased a new 2011 model year tractor and it's affected by the rule, it should be in compliance, and that was beginning in January 1st of 2010. For day cab tractors, we're only requesting that you have the SmartWay verified low rolling resistance tires on those, and that began January 1st of 2010 as well. And also for SmartWay, they're also using a terminology as designated SmartWay equipment and vehicles. So if you hear the term designated, it still means either certified or verified, which are the terms we're using here in our presentation today. Yes. Okay, if you have any questions, can you stand up and at the microphone? So, Okay, so for existing tractors, that's all 2010 and older model year, that's both the sleeper cab and the day cab tractor, SmartWay verified low rolling resistance tires would be required for those beginning January 1st of 2013. Okay, so for trailer requirements, we're talking about a 2011 or newer model year 53-foot or longer box type. So if your trailer isn't 53-foot or longer or box type, you're not affected by the regulation. But if you do have a new trailer that you're purchasing, it has to be SmartWay certified, which means it has to have the package on it, the equipment and the low rolling resistance tires, or you can purchase a trailer and retrofit that trailer with the SmartWay technology. And you also have to have the low rolling resistance tires as well. So for retrofitted trailers, you'd have to select one or more aerodynamic devices off the SmartWay list that will give you a fuel efficiency improvement target. And for dry vans, we're talking about a 5% fuel efficiency improvement. And for refrigerated vans, we're talking about a 4% fuel efficiency improvement. So you would definitely go to that SmartWay list and pick some aerodynamic devices that would add up to either 5% if you have a dry van, or 4% if you have a refrigerated van. And that became effective January 1st of 2010. And also for the low rolling resistance tires, the low rolling resistance tires are giving you about a 1.5% fuel efficiency improvement. Okay, so for existing trailers, we're talking the 2010 and older model year 53 foot or longer box type trailers. Same requirements, except you don't have to have the low rolling resistance tires on the older trailers right now. So I'm going to go into tire requirements in another slide. But you do still have to have the aerodynamics, and it does have to meet that minimum 5 or 4% depending on whether you have a dry van or a refrigerated van. And these have to be in compliance by January 1st of 2013 unless you decide to opt into one of our optional phase-in plans for either the small fleets or the large fleets. And I'll go a little bit into that as well in another slide. Okay, so here's our tire requirements for both the tractors and the trailers. If you have a new tractor that you've purchased, that means the 2011 or model year newer sleeper cab or day cab tractor, it has to have the SmartWay low rolling resistance tires on it as of January 1st of 2010. And we're also allowing open shoulder drive tires for new tractors as well. And those drive tires that we're allowing on the new tractors right now don't have to be SmartWay certified. And we're going to allow those tires on the new tractors until January 1st of 2013. We're hoping by that time that SmartWay comes up with an open shoulder drive tire. For existing tractors, that's all 2010 and older model year sleeper cab and day cab tractors. We're asking that you have those SmartWay low rolling resistance tires on there by January 1st of 2013. That's the requirement. And for new trailer purchases, that's the 2011 and newer model year for both the dry van and the refrigerated. You have to have the SmartWay tires on there starting January 1st of 2010. For the existing tractors, trailers, you have to have just the SmartWay tires, and that's beginning January 1st of 2017. So all the older trailers, that's 2010 and older, both dry van and refrigerated, you don't need to have the SmartWay tires on there until January 1st of 2017. However, we are asking that if you do purchase new tires, you purchase SmartWay so that there is a gradual turnover of your tires so that by the time 2017 gets here, there's not a large amount of tires you have to purchase for your trailer fleet. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about the optional small fleet compliance plan. Due to upfront capital cost, we know it's expensive to put a lot of SmartWay equipment on your trailer fleets, especially if you have a lot of trailers. So we're allowing fleets to enter into a four-year compliance schedule, and you have 4 years to bring all your trailers into compliance. So this rule defines a small fleet as 20 or fewer trailers. The phase-in for this particular compliance plan is between 2013 and 2016 for the small fleets. You have to submit your compliance plan to us by July 1st of 2012 and enter that through our truckers database system, and David's going to talk a little bit about that later on today. And we're going to allow you to give us your activity that you did for your particular fleet at the end of the year, or you can give it to us at the beginning, but we're going to give you some flexibility on how you actually report those trailers. And you'll actually be able to do that on an annual basis. For our initial option, we had asked for all the information up front, and industry suggested that we give you a little bit more flexibility in terms of how you report to us. So we know a lot of times you may not know for a particular year what trailers you're going to use so you can give us that information at the end of the year. But your plan will have to specify which trailers you're going to bring into compliance the first 25%, and that's by January 1st of 2014, 50% by January 1st of 2015, and 75% of your fleet by January 1st of 2016, and 100% by January 1st of 2017. Okay, so for large fleets, the regulation defines a large fleet as 21 or more trailers. And we did have an option that was available last year. That was the option one. And you had to report to us by July 1st of 2010 for that particular option. But now we have a new option available, option two. And this is the critical deadline coming up July 1st of 2011. If you want to participate in a compliance plan with us, you'll have to get your information into us by July 1st of 2011. And for option two, as you can see, it's a little bit more accelerated. You have to identify 20% of your fleet and bring it into compliance before January 1st of 2012, 40% by January 1st of 2013, 60% by January 1st of 2014, and so on up to 100% by January 1st of 2016. If you are in option one right now, you do have the option of going into option two, and David's going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Okay, so what do we have to report in terms of that compliance plan? Well, we're going to be asking you to submit, if you have a trailer fleet, either large or small, you'll have to submit your trailer fleet list to us. And if you're a large fleet, we're only going to be asking you to submit the trailers that are going to be operating in California, those affected trailers. And for small fleets, we're going to be asking you to report to us your total trailer fleet, whether it operates in California or not. We'll be asking for specific information on each trailer, and David's going to talk a little bit about that later. And you'll have to identify, once again, based on that schedule that I just showed you, which trailers are going to be brought into compliance for each compliance year. Some of the general requirements for the compliance plan reporting is that we're going to be asking you to submit all the required information to us by the due dates, that you ensure that the designated trailers that you told us you were going to bring into compliance meet the compliance schedule by that timeline. You need to allow ARB to audit your records and equipment if we request it. And you need to maintain all that documentation at a location specified on your trailer fleet list. Okay, I just wanted to go into the definition of owner. We've had a lot of discussion about owner and a lot of questions from industry regarding, you know, who's the owner, if it's a lease, you know, who's responsible in terms of compliance. So I just wanted to go over the definition of what the regulation defines as owner. So the owner is the person registered as owner by the DMV, except in the following situations. So if you have a tractor or trailer that's owned by the federal government and it's not registered by DMV, the federal government is the owner. If you have a lease tractor or a lease trailer, the owner is the person that's leasing it unless there is a contract and a disclosure that says that the lessee is going to be responsible for compliance with that particular trailer. So if there's no contract or disclosure or lease agreement that's allowing the lessee to modify the trailer, exchange the trailer, or bring the trailer into compliance so that it complies with the rule, the lessor is responsible for that unless he specifically states that in the contract. Okay, so here's the disclosure language. I decided to provide it here for you so you don't have to go to the regulation to find it. If you're selling tractors and trailers, this is the exact language you have to provide of the buyer. It has to read exactly like this, and we're asking that you just provide it and, once again, keep records. You can give it to them in your bill of sale or separately. We're not requiring that it comes in any kind of particular type of document, but that you just do supply the information to them and keep records of that you did that. Okay, and here's the disclosure language for the leasing. If you're going to lease a tractor, you have to provide this disclosure language exactly like this. This is also found in the regulation, but we provided it to you here, and it has to read exactly like this when you provide it to the person that's leasing. And also, here's the disclosure language for trailers. Once again, it has to be provided exactly like this to the person that's leasing the trailer. Okay, we do have another provision that we developed for refrigerated vans, and we know there's a lot of upfront capital costs as well to comply with the transportation refrigeration unit regulation. So we decided to delay compliance for some of the TRUs that would be subject to both rules. So if you have a 2003 to 2004 TRU, you don't have to comply with this particular regulation until January 1st of 2018. If you have an 05 or 06 TRU, you don't have to comply until January 1st of 2019. And for 07 through 09 model year trailers, you don't have to comply until January 1st of 2020. There's no reporting to ARB for these particular trailers. You just need to bring them into compliance by the due date. And we definitely want to clarify here that this does not change or delay any of the engine requirements under the separate TRU regulation. You still have to comply with the TRU regulation, but we're just giving you a delayed compliance date for our rule because we know a lot of people have to spend money for both rules, and we're going to give you a delay until you have to comply with our rule. Okay, here's the information on the open shoulder tire exemption. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's for new tractors only. And so it's going to allow you to put open shoulder tires that are not SmartWay low rolling resistance tires on your sleeper cab or your day cab tractor if it's new up until January 1st of 2013. And at that time, this particular exemption will sunset. Okay, we also have an exemption for tractors, and this is for older and newer tractors. It's called a short haul exemption, and the definition of a short haul tractor is one that only travels 50,000 miles or less in a year. It can be travel inside or outside of California, and the short haul tractor and the trailer that it pulls are both exempt from the aerodynamic and the low rolling resistance tire requirements. You have to register this vehicle. Once again, this is one of the requirements that if you want to register your tractor as a short haul tractor, you'll have to register that with our truckers database system. And one of the things we're going to be asking you to do is update it annually, as well as give us the odometer readings of that tractor that you're getting the exemption for. Okay, we also have another exemption called local haul. It's for tractors and trailers. And a local haul tractor or trailer is one that's operating within a 100-mile radius of a registered home base. And a home base is usually where that tractor or trailer is housed, garaged, or maintained. Those tractors and trailers are exempt from the SmartWay aerodynamic requirements. However, you still have to have the low rolling resistance tires on those tractors and trailers. We do have a relocation pass that's available for a local haul trailer, and I'll talk a little bit about that more when we get to the passes. But once again, if you want to take advantage of this exemption, you will have to register in our truckers database as well, and that's prior to operating the tractor or trailer as a exempt tractor or trailer. You need to register that first with us. Okay, we're going to take questions at the very end. Thank you. Okay, for storage trailers, we have an exemption now for those, and they're exempt from both the aerodynamic and tire requirements. They have to be empty when traveling on California highways, unless you have a relocation pass for that. And also, you have to register these if you want to take advantage of the exemption. You'll have to register these vehicles as well in our online truckers database system. Okay, here are some of the vehicles that are exempt from our rule. Container chassis trailers, drop frame van trailers, curtain side van trailers, emergency vehicles, solid waste vehicles, and military vehicles. Also, those doubles that you see on the road where there's two little double trailers, those are exempt in case you had questions about that. The large flatbed trailers are exempt, and there's no registration required, and they're not affected by the rule. Okay, we also have an exemption for drayage. And the exemption applies for trailers being pulled by a drayage tractor that's being offloaded from a ship or rail yard just prior to being pulled by that drayage tractor. And it's also for trailers that are being pulled by drayage tractors that's taking that trailer back to a ship port or rail yard to be put onto a ship or a rail car. So if you have a trailer that's being pulled by a drayage tractor, if it's leaving the ship or rail car area or going back to the ship or rail yard area to be loaded, it's exempt as well. And you'll have to show evidence that you're either leaving the port or going to that port or rail yard if you are ever stopped and you're wanting to take advantage of this exemption. Okay, we have several temporary passes for this particular rule. And the first one I'm going to talk about is the relocation pass. That's for local haul and storage trailers. This allows movement of loaded exempt local haul trailers and exempt storage trailers within California. It's a four-day pass. It's four passes that you can get per tractor-trailer combination. And it's actually a three-day pass. And you have to operate that local haul or storage trailer at that location for 30 days in order to take advantage of this particular pass. We also have a transfer of ownership pass for trailers. It's a three-day pass, and it can be longer if you request it. And this one allows delivery of loaded trailers from a transfer's location to a transferee's location. So we're usually talking about here someone that's buying a trailer and selling it. So we're going to allow you to move that trailer loaded to your seller if you want to, if you're to your buyer if you're selling the trailer. And you'll have to get a three-day pass in order to do that. The non-compliant tractor pass, that's another pass that we're going to allow a non-compliant tractor to pull a trailer in California. And it's also a three-day pass. You get one tractor per fleet per year. And this particular pass is going to sunset in 2015. Okay, we're also going to be allowing modifications to SmartWay verified equipment. We've gotten some concerns from industry that there's some trailers out there that they're having trouble putting the SmartWay equipment on their particular type of trailer. So we're going to allow you to make some changes to some of the SmartWay aerodynamic technologies. Some of the things we're going to be requiring before you do that is that it actually does have to be a SmartWay aerodynamic technology to begin with before you make any changes to it. And you'll have to submit your information to ARB for the alternate configuration to get an approval for that. So we're also going to allow you to install some different types of aerodynamic technologies, but you'll have to start out with the SmartWay equipment to begin with before you make any changes. Okay, we also have a trailer aerodynamics compliance delay because we do know there are some trailers out there that there's just nothing on that SmartWay list that's going to fit, nothing that's going to work to give you the aerodynamic resistance or the fuel efficiency that you're looking for. So we're going to allow trailers to apply for a one-year delay if you find that there's nothing on the SmartWay list that's going to fit your trailer. And you'll have to, once again, submit the information to ARB. You'll have to give us the information and demonstrate that there is nothing on the SmartWay list right now that's feasible that you can use to bring your trailer into compliance. It's a one-year approval. You'll have to come back to us every year to make sure that there is nothing or any new technology that US EPA SmartWay has come out with in order to make your trailer compliant. And this also requires approval before you can move your trailer around without the aerodynamics on it. Okay, so SmartWay equipment. Let's talk a little bit about that. Once again, the SmartWay certified tractors are currently available, and they also are called designated SmartWay equipment as well. Those are the fully aerodynamic with the low rolling resistance tires that I mentioned early on in my presentation. And you have to purchase those directly from a tractor manufacturer or dealer. We'll be providing you with the website where you can find all the certified tractors that are available right now that you can choose from to comply with the regulation. Okay, we also have the SmartWay verified aerodynamic technologies that are available, and they're also on the website. I've listed the website here that will take you directly to those technologies. Please visit it, fairly periodically because they do update this website all the time with different technologies. So if you have your dry van and you're looking for your 5% technology to put on there, there may be one technology that's 5% where you don't have to do a combination of technologies in order to meet the requirements of the regulations. So definitely visit that website periodically to see. There's always new things going up on the website. The technologies that we've been seeing on the website are front and rear fairings, their side skirts, the long skirts and the mini skirts, and also the under trailer fairings. There's also dual and single wide verified SmartWay low rolling resistance tires. And you would once again look at that list, but you would purchase these directly from either the device manufacturer or the dealer. Okay, there is some funding assistance available for the regulation, and it's mostly for small fleets. If you own 20 or fewer trucks, fewer than 100 employees, and less than $10 million in annual revenue, and you operate about 50% in California, you can apply for a loan guarantee. And the loans range from $5,000 to $1.5 million. They can be used to purchase SmartWay certified heavy-duty trucks and also aerodynamic technologies that you find on the list. There's also loans available through US EPA SmartWay as well. They have a diesel loan program. You may want to check that out when you go to their website. And also Cascade Sierra has loans as well. And these loans are available through CalCAP. Okay, here's our online resource. I just want to briefly mention this one. This is the truck stop. I'm not sure if everybody is familiar with this one. There's a lot of good information links inside of this particular webpage. I've got the address here. And if you go in, if you have trailers, for example, and you click on the trailer button, it'll ask you a few questions about your business operation, and it'll automatically give you which regulations you need to comply with, whether you can get funding for your particular business. So it's really an excellent resource. It's got a lot of good links in here to fact sheets and other advisories for all the different heavy-duty diesel regulations. So I would recommend that you definitely use this as one of your online resources to link up to. We also have an 8666-DIESEL hotline that you can call and get your questions answered as well. We have people standing by to take those calls. And we also have a website that you can use to email your questions in to the diesel hotline. Okay, so here's the webpage for the tractor trailer greenhouse gas emission reduction regulation. So you can see what it looks like in case you're cruising through ARB's websites and you're wondering if you got to the right one. This is the one you want to be on. We are recommending that you do join our email list. We have a listserv, and it's really a good resource for you because it will give you updates all the time on new things that are coming out about the regulation in terms of training and workshops. We have new fact sheets. We also have a what's new, and you can just get all the updated information on what's going on with our particular regulation. The yellow buttons that you see across the top, they have a lot of good information behind them. The fact sheets are all there in terms of the ones we have. We also have them here today and available for you to pick up on your way out. The regulation, we have the regulatory workshop information. There's going to be reporting forms there for those that want to participate with the truckers, and a lot of good training information under our training button. The website is at the bottom if you want to put that one in your on your website. Okay, so here's all the information on our particular rule. I gave you the diesel hotline. Once again, the number and the email address in case you have questions you want to call the diesel hotline. The truck stop address is here as well. I've got the web link for our particular regulation and also the listserv address if you want to sign up for listserv. I would highly recommend that. Another important one here is the SmartWay program information website. That's where you're going to go to get information about the SmartWay vehicles and equipment that are required to comply with the regulation. Okay, and with that, I've completed my particular part of the regulation, and we're going to take just a 5-minute break before we move on to the next section.
Some of you guys have been jotting down your questions, and I want to give everybody an opportunity while it's fresh in their mind to answer the questions. And then what we'll do is we'll take the 5-minute break after that, and then I'm going to have staff come up and go over the reporting and a little bit of a training on how to do online reporting with the database system. So I know we had a few questions people wanted to ask. The gentleman that was sitting here, I'm not sure if he moved, but if you have some questions, please feel free to come up to the mic here and ask your question. And we'd ask you to use the mic because it gives an opportunity for everybody to hear and also people on the webcast, so we'd appreciate it. So if you have some questions, please feel free to come up one at a time.
Morning. Have you decided how to deal with the challenge of a registered home base in regards to rental and leasing fleets?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways that rental and leasing fleets can handle it. There's two options, but I would say the predominant one that most leasing fleets are doing is they're having the company, you know, if they're a long-term lease or
no, I'm talking about short-term rentals.
Short-term lease. There's two ways that I would probably recommend that you choose. And one would be you would register them yourself, and you would have as your fleet of trailers, and you would have the people renting the trailers, if they're short-term, sign an acknowledgement that they're responsible and that if they're operating in California, that they have to operate it, you know, if it's a non-retrofitted trailer, operate it as a local haul trailer, if you're going to report as local haul, what those boundaries are and have them operate in that manner.
So is the 100-mile radius around my location?
It would be your location. And if you wanted to move that location to their location, you can do that as well.
By re-registering the trailer in the trucker's system?
By relocating the trailer base. We're looking at allowing leasing companies more flexibility of changing where that local haul base would be. So instead of having that 30-day window where you're locked into a local haul base, to be able to allow leasing fleets to be able to change that local haul base more frequently. So like let's say you had a lease for only 2 weeks and you place that trailer at that local haul base, then they would be able to operate from their local haul base in the region, that 100 miles from their local haul base. And then when they bring it back within that 2-week period, you'd be able to re-register that new local haul base for that trailer when somebody else comes in to lease the trailer.
Okay, so you're set up for this, or you're still looking
into it? We're still working on it. We're working with the leasing companies. It's a little bit of a complexity because of the business, but most long-term lease, I would say, are they're going to put the responsibility on the lessee or the person coming in to lease the trailer, and it's making them register the trailer in their fleet and participate in compliance on their own and being out of it. But for short-term, it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. So you could do that, but it's more complex. And I think for those who have short-term leases, they may want to keep those trailers in their under their control and have the contract language state that they need to comply with the requirements if they're leasing a trailer that doesn't comply 100% with the rule. So that's the first option. And the second option I just alluded to, and that is to make everything compliant with the rule. And so even though they may be using it in a local regional operation, you have a fleet of trailers that can be operated in any which way you want that just comply. And that would remove pretty much all the headaches that you would have in worrying about compliance if all the trailers comply with the rule.
I'm still not sure you answered my question. If I rent a trailer to someone, I'm in Fontana, and it's registered in 100-mile radius of Fontana, my customer takes it to Ventura, they want to operate within a 100-mile radius of Ventura. Where can they operate it, and how do we ensure that they're not in trouble, and I'm not in trouble?
So you would register his Ventura location as the new local hall base, which is his location, and he would be responsible of operating that trailer during the time that he has it within that 100 miles of that base.
So I'd go into the trucker system and change its home base Fontana to Ventura.
That's correct.
Okay.
And if typically these trailers that you lease run empty, you know, when they go to the new facility, the new renter takes it empty, then you don't have to worry about the registration time frame as much, because you can do that, you know, he could leave and you can do it within a day or so. It's not going to be an issue. But if he wants to pick up a load from, say, your location here in L.A. and go to Bakersfield, and he's going to take a load with him, that's when you want to make sure that you register the base before he takes off.
Okay. Now, if I plan to designate my entire 53-foot rental / lease fleet as local haul, do I need to do this by July 1st or by January 1st of 2013?
If you're registering just local haul fleet, and you're not registering any kind of long haul and taking advantage of phase-in compliance, then the date for you, for your company, would be 2013.
Okay.
But if you're taking advantage of the early phase-in option, let's say you've got trailers that you're going to be leasing and you're going to still maintain control because you choose to do so, and you're going to register it, then it would be at the time of registration. When you register into the database, then you'll need to identify the local haul trailers.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to do a phase-in in compliance because we never intend on making our entire fleet long-haul GHG compliant. Okay. It'll only be a small percentage, and we're probably going to report them as they came online for that use driven by customer demand. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that sounds like it'll work.
Great. Thank you.
So do we have any other questions?
Yeah. Just one question. I think I know the answer to already, but has the ARB conducted any studies for aerodynamics at California legal speeds?
There's been some testing done. EPA doesn't require the testing to be done at a specific speed, but there's been some testing, wind tunnel testing done at various speeds, and the benefits of the technology occur at, you know, California highway speeds.
55, not 62.
That's correct. However, with the caveat that the faster the speed, the more benefit you get from the technology. So, for instance, when you're looking at the aerodynamic technology that's approved through the SmartWay program, you're going to have a lot of the technologies come in around anywhere from 5 to 7% that have been verified. When you're operating them at 55, you're going to be operating them not at 5 and 7%. They're going to be less than that.
Okay. Yeah, our company has been adding trailer side skirts. We've spoken with you, Stephen, before everything was passed in 2008.
Okay.
And we showed some studies that we did where we were showing no significant raise in fuel mileage at all. And we're a SmartWay certified company. It went through the other venues that SmartWay offers, and we're seeing much greater performance through fuel mileage. So if our company does not see these 4 or 5% fuel efficiency improvements, just because we have the thing that's supposed to give it that 4 or 5% of fuel efficiency improvement, we're okay. We're not going to get in trouble if we're not seeing that fuel efficiency improvement, correct?
No. As long as you're approved through the EPA SmartWay program, that's the key. EPA has a method and process of having aerodynamics technology is approved.
As long as what we put on the truck is approved, because our company is approved by them, but we don't have all the aerodynamics on them right now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so long as you're placing that technology on the trailer like it was supposed to be installed, like it's been demonstrated with the EPA and done the testing, then you're fine. We're not tracking anybody's fuel economy and making sure they're staying above 5%, nothing
okay.
like that.
Okay, yeah, because we're not seeing that at all. We have registered already through the option one. We were told last year sometime, I think last time we were all together here, that we would be able to get in there and change a couple things if we needed to. It's been closed down. Are we going to be able to get in there and change anything?
Yeah, we're going to open it back up, and when you say change things, for those who are registered in option one, their fleet is set in terms of the number of vehicles that they've
yeah.
put in there. We're going to allow fleets to opt out of option one, go into an option two, which is a different phase and percentage, and it gives you, you don't have to, you didn't really have to do anything this past year, but it's 20% this year that you would have to do under option two. And if you do that, then it opens up the ability of fleets to add more trailers into their list. So if you go from option one to option two, it's like registering for the first time. You're able to add to your fleet if you want to. Once you've deselected option one and selected option two, that's you're set in stone in option two then. There's no way of going back.
Okay, so if we are have registered through option one, we essentially cannot grow as a company. We can't add any tractors.
You can't add any trailers.
Or trailers,
it's only trailers to your fleet. So what that means is any new to your fleet 2010 or older trailer would have to be compliant, like the 2011 trailers. That if you have a 2011 trailer today, it should be compliant.
Yes.
It should have been compliant since of January of last year. So whenever you've taken delivery, you need to make sure you're making compliance. Well, in the same situation, if you're in option one and you've taken delivery of a used trailer and it's not in your fleet list, then from the day that you start operating that trailer, you need to make sure it's compliant, so it's retrofitted. But if you didn't want to do that, let's say your business expanded quite a bit this year because last year wasn't a very good year, and you bought 100 used trailers on the market, you may want to, as a strategy, leave option one, go into option two, and register all those trailers and take advantage of that. So it gives you a little bit extra flexibility.
Yeah, we'd like to stay in the option one if we can, just because it's at 5% margin or whatever that it allows us. So if we're registered in the option one, we can't go in and change a trailer that we see as only doing the local haul?
No, you can.
We can do that. Okay.
Change that and say it's now a local haul trailer.
Okay.
But,
okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's good. That's good. But if we add any more trailers to our actual fleet, then they will not fall under the
option one. You have to go into option two to do that.
Okay. And also, just real quick, one last one: the provisions for refrigerator vans of the GHG rule. You said that the TRU model year had to be 2003 to 2004, 2005 to 2006, 2007 to 2009 to meet these compliance deadlines.
Right.
If we have an older trailer that we've been keeping up that's a 2000 or 2001 or 2002, then that doesn't count, though?
Right. So if you have something outside that range, which is like a 2003 trailer with a 2002 TRU.
No, if the TRUs are all, I think ours are all 2007 or newer.
Okay.
Well, but if we have it on, if we've replaced an old TRU that was a 2000 on a 2000 trailer.
Yeah, then those would have to comply with the phase-in. They would be inside the phase-in and not in this other compliance plan that you would have for the model years of the trailers, which are give you quite a bit of extra time. And the reason why we did that is because the rule, the way this rule was rolling out and the TRU rule was designed to roll out, was requiring the purchase of either retrofit devices for TRUs or new TRU engines for these trailers at the same time that the fleets would have to go out and purchase the technology to meet this rule, which is the
Yeah, we have about 400, I think, in the system. But
so the older the 20, 20, 2003. So if you had a 2002 or older TRU engine, you've already have done something with that TRU, but by the time this rule has come to play. And so we're saying that now you've put those trailers into your phase-in.
But our trailers that have the 2007 model year TRUs that are on an older trailer that's the exact
same old?
As a 2000?
No, it's outside. See, it's both.
I just don't understand what the big difference is between a 2000 trailer and a 2003 trailer.
What it has to do with the year you had to do something with that trailer. You had to do something with that 2000 trailer earlier than the rollout of this rule. So you've already spent the money prior years. And what we're trying to do is alleviate the need of spending the same or considerable amount of money in the same year. So if you're, you know, if you have a 2003 TRU, a model year refrigerated van with a 2003 TRU engine, then the TRU rule requirements are hitting you at the same time as this rule is hitting you.
Yeah,
so we're giving
you
a complete delay on those. But for the 2000 model year TRU, you have had to have done something with that TRU before the rollout of this rule. And so we're saying you're going to include those into your phase-in and do them during the phase-in.
Okay. That's all. Thanks.
Just to be clear, if we, with acquisitions, how does that work? Are they considered just add-ins and you would use that at phase two?
If you have a new fleet, or an acquisition of a fleet, you can have them report as their own fleet and do the phase-in. We do have a provision, it's a little bit foggy in my mind, but of acquisitions, allowing them to be included into your fleet. Unfortunately, I don't know, I can't recall the specifics of that, but we do have language that provides some flexibility to companies that buy other companies and outright and have to comply. But and one option is to keep them as a separate fleet and register them in option two. You can do that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And if you'd like, maybe you can leave me your contact information. I can give you a call back on that on the acquisition aspect of it.
Okay, do we have any other questions before we go to break? Okay, we're going to take a 5 minutes. So everybody can stretch.
And then when we get back, we'll handle the questions that came in by email. Or some people might have emailed some questions.
Yeah, we can do that before David gets started.
Okay, so we'll take a 5 minute break. We'll go check our email and see if anybody had questions in the email system, and then we'll start the reporting training. Thank you. 5 minutes. So let's say at 12:30. Then we'll start back.
No, they're not going to put it on the screen.
Don't put it on the screen yet. We'll just
read these questions.
Okay, we're back. So we're going to. Did we get any questions, Yvonne, from the web people watching on webcast?
Yes, we did. The first question is: we operate a fleet of 250 trailers, but only three are 53-foot trailers. When you say a fleet size of 20 or more, is that the total trailer size? In our case, 250, or only the 53-foot or longer size?
Did you want to answer?
Well, it's only the 53-foot or longer that would be subject to the regulation. So if you only have three 53-foot trailers, you would be considered a small fleet. And if you wanted to participate in one of our plans, you would report those three trailers. It's only three of the 53-foot. So those are the only ones that would be subject to our regulations, the ones that are 53-foot or longer.
Yeah. And let me just amplify that for other situations a little bit. So if you own 250 trailers, all 53-foot trailers, and you only had three that operate in California, then you would be considered a large fleet and would have to participate and take advantage of option two if you wanted to phase in over a longer period of time. But if you only had three, probably the best approach may be just to meet the 2013 deadline. And so the size of your fleet, 53-foot fleet, dictates whether you're a large fleet or small fleet. And the number of vehicles that come to California would go, you would qualify, the size of your fleet would tell you where, which one you would qualify for, whether it would be a small fleet or the large fleet.
Okay, our next question is, can a tractor have more than one trailer assigned to it for the short haul exemption?
If you're under a short haul exemption, what ends up happening is that tractor, whatever it pulls, it exempts everything it pulls. So the trailer, regardless of the trailer, it could be, you know, one day they can pull a compliant trailer, and the next day it can pull something that's not compliant, and would be fine. And so the short haul exemption for tractors applies to the trailer automatically. But, of course, you have to meet the 50,000-mile-per-year limit on the mileage for that tractor, regardless of where it operates. So we're not talking about 50,000 miles in California. We're talking about 50,000 miles total mileage on the tractor per year.
Okay, that's all our questions. We just had one person that was having a difficulty getting on to the webinar. I'll just email you back for this one.
So now we're going to transition, I guess, to the database reporting and training. And we'll give our IT staff a chance to maybe switch things back up on the screen, and we'll get going. Thank you. And I'll be in the back during this presentation, so if you have some other questions, you can come up there and we can talk as well. Or I'll be around as well after the reporting training.
I can give you this one if you'd like it.
My name is David Chen, and I'm the one who is developing the online reporting system for truckers, and so that's what I'm going to be talking about. All right. And so today I'm going to go over just kind of like the navigation of the system, show how it works. We're planning to have it up hopefully today. We have an upload spreadsheet, and there's still some issues with it, and so I'm working on that, and we were holding off on the release since the spreadsheet and the online system go kind of together. And so it looks like we'll probably have it up today, and so if you guys want to go in later today and tinker on it or tomorrow or something, you probably can. And so I'm going to go over the actual online pages that we have, and as well as the spreadsheet and how it works. And so as they discussed earlier, the reasons you would need a report for tractors is if you want to register for a short or local haul tractor, register a short or local haul tractor. And for trailers is if you want to do the phase-in or you want to register a local haul or storage trailer. Otherwise, there really isn't a need to report, but those are the reasons. Those would require you to report. And so this page, there will be a link to this page from our actual regulation program webpage. And so we'll be sending out the address through listserv, and I think it's on some of the postcards we sent out as well. So when you first get to this page, you'll see you'll have a login form on the right. Oh, and I just wanted to mention that when we started out, the truckers or truck regulation upload compliance and reporting system was supposed to be used for both the truck and bus rule and the tractor-trailer GHG rule. At this point, we've kind of separated, and so this is the greenhouse gas portal for the tractor trailer greenhouse gas portal. If you so you can't, you're not supposed to be reporting truck and bus vehicles in the system anymore. But if you do want to do that, if you are a fleet that has to report for both, there's going to be a link on the page that takes you to their portal and where you can actually log into their system and report. Your username and password should be the same. So when you first come to this page, you have a login form at the right. And then what you'll need to do when you first get here is you have to request an account. And here's this, there's a button at the very bottom of this login form to take you to that page. And when you hit the request an account, basically you have a form where you fill out your name, email address, you select a username and your phone number, and then you hit create account. And what it does is, I guess I'll just enter some dummy data to show you. And then so what it does is basically it says, it gives you a message that says your username and password are emailed to you. When you request an account, you're actually doing it on the off-road reporting system because we share account username and password. And so you'll see at the top of this bar, it says off-road diesel vehicle. But actually, it's the same. You're going to be, you can use that same login information for both systems. But basically what it did is now it just sent basically a password to my email address. And then when you're done with here, you just hit continue, and that takes you back to the login screen. Now, I've already pre-created some logins just for this demo. So when you first log in, you're going to see you're going to be prompted with a couple of questions. So first is just basically to identify your relationship with the fleet you're going to be reporting. There's going to be, you know, just fleets themselves and employees of the fleets, and they're going to be contractors. And so basically we just want to know what you are because the way we handle some data validation is a little bit different between the two. And so once you make a selection, you have the button proceed activates, and then you can go. And then so the first time you log in, since there are no fleets in your account, basically, it asks you if you want to add a new fleet or import an existing fleet from Doors. And what it does is, the Doors is the off-road reporting system, is if you had business information over there, it just basically pulls it in so you don't have to enter it again. But most of you guys, I would think, do not have off-road vehicles in their system. But so if I click add a new fleet, it basically takes me to a form where it asks for business information. And so you would just fill this out and then check the box saying that, you know, you tested the information is true, correct, and add fleet. And what it does is that at that point it assigns what we call a trucker's ID. And that's a unique identifier to each fleet. So I'm going to log into my other account, which I already have an existing fleets in there. And so basically, this is the fleet list. So now that I have fleets in here, it takes me to the fleet list. And basically, what I can do is I could have multiple sub-fleets, or if I'm a contractor, I can have different fleets under that account. And each one, as on the left here, it has a unique trucker's ID. So this is an important number when you're reporting, because this is what identifies what fleet you're actually putting vehicles into and stuff like that, like especially when you're using the spreadsheet. When you're thinking truck, when it asks for trucker's ID, this is the number it's asking for. It's not your username and it's not your password. And the last go around, we had a lot of people entering their usernames and passwords in there and it didn't work. And so from this page, you can add additional fleets, and there's the link right there at the top left. Or you can import a Doors fleet. You'll always have that option. And so if you click that, it just takes you to another page where it would have a list of Doors fleets if you had them. So I don't have any Doris Fleets associated with this username account. So it doesn't show anything. It just says you have no Doris Fleets. And then you can go back to the fleet list by clicking that button. If you need to edit any information regarding your fleet, there's a button on here at the right. And so if I just click View and Edit, just prompts me, asks me if I want to go there. It takes you back to basically the same form that you used to enter the data, except that all the form fields are pre-populated with the data that you have. So one thing here, for tax ID, it's partially obscured. It just shows the last four. And if you want to click to edit, you click here. It clears it. And then you can enter if you made a mistake, you can enter a new tax ID. So one thing that some of you may be interested in is dropping out from option one and going into the option two of the phase-in. And so this one's already selected for option two, but the way to withdraw, I guess, your application from any of the phase-ins is the same. So I'm just going to demo. If you were an option one fleet, you would do this the exact same way. So you would click here, and basically it says click to change. It's a link. And it takes you to a page asking you that if you want to withdraw your participation in the selected option that you're in. And so it gives a warning here that says that, okay, if you're in option one and you pull out of option one, you're not going to have the chance to go back. And so it just kind of it asks you if you're sure you want to do this. And then you basically click understand and then submit my withdrawal request. And what that actually does is it sends you an email with a link with a unique token identifier that you have to click in, and then you have to go through additional steps to actually, you have to click the link, and then you have to provide your username, password, and then the trucker's ID. And then at that point, you confirm your withdrawal request, and that's when it actually pulls that data. It actually clears that option, and then gives you the ability to go back to, transition to option two. And I'll just show you what the form will look like once you've withdrawn your selection of option one, then it gives you a drop down, and then you can select the new option. So you have to come back to this page, and then select option two, and then go from there. So also right here, if you want to request to delete a certain fleet because some people enter duplicate fleets and they want to get rid of one, you can submit a request. And basically that just puts it in a request table for us to do. And basically we're just going to have like a three-day wait period. And basically after 3 days, sometime after 3 days, it could be more than that, but sometimes after 3 days we'll go in and we'll delete that data for you. You'll have the opportunity to cancel that request once you submit it, and basically there'll be a cancel button right there. But I'll just ask you if you're to check a box and then to put your birth date, just to make sure you want to do it. And basically, right here it says deletion request submitted on what date, and then basically you have 72 hours to change your mind. Longer if we don't get to it, but you know, minimum 72 hours. And here you can cancel the request, and you're okay again. And so when you actually want to start reporting vehicles for your fleet, you just click on the name of your fleet. And so I'll just click on this fleet I named Demonstration Fleet, and basically it takes you to kind of like an intro page to the actual system where you actually add the vehicles. And on this page right here at the top box, it just has some dates, like some compliance dates that are coming up. And down here it has one line basically telling the status of your data. And so what the new system requires is that once you make changes, we're asking you to finalize your data. And basically it's saying that you reviewed it, you think it's good, and to finalize any of the changes that you made. And so basically this is telling the data in here hasn't been finalized. And so it's asking me to finalize, and once I finalize it, the message will change and say your data has been finalized, and you don't need to do anything at this point. And then also now down here you have the links of the different things you can do. You have basically the same links going across the top across that burgundy bar, and so except that down here there's a little bit of summary of what it actually is, and so you can actually get to those pages either through these links or through the top. Also right here, through all the reporting pages, you have the name of the fleet, the trucker's ID, and the ability to go back to the fleet list to change the fleet you're working on. So I'm just going to go through the different pages. Like I said, you can either go through these links down here or through the top, but I'm just going to go from the top. So this is the trucker's home page, and so we're already on this page, so I'll go to the next one. The first page we have here is the fleet summary, and basically it's just a breakdown of data for your fleet and gives you a summary of your vehicles. So at the top, basically, is your business information, just in a table for you to look at. Again, your tax ID is partially secured. And just so you know, it is encrypted in the system, and so it's not stored in plain text where somebody can just open it up and take your tax ID. Then the second table here is just general fleet information. It just tells you how many tractors you have, how many trailers, et cetera, and it tells you the different types of tractors and trailers you have. And if you think the text is too small, just so you know, one of the browser functions is that you can hold control and roll the wheel on the mouse, and it changes the size of the window. So if you can't see something, you can always do that. That's an easy way to get your text up bigger so you can actually read it if you think the text is too small. On some of the pages, I did opt for a smaller size text because there's just so much information I have to store on a row, and I wanted to make sure that all that information was there. And so that's the route I went. And so you might have maybe some people might have a hard time seeing some of it just in its native size and native font size. But again, like I said, hold control and roll the wheel mouse and you can get it bigger. So the next table basically is all your local haul bases that you've entered. And so in this count, I have two, just dummy locations. And at the very bottom, if you are in one of the phase-in options, it gives you a summary of your phase-in trailers. Basically, tells how many trailers you have, and then how many you've assigned each compliance year, and stuff like that. So the next page I have is actually the upload page, which I'm going to skip for now. I'm going to go back to at the end. But this is just basically the page where you can use the spreadsheet and upload your data, bulk upload your data, so you don't have to be sitting at the computer entering, you know, 1,000 vehicles one at a time. And so I'm going to get to that after I go through the actual online reporting interface. So basically, if you want to enter and edit vehicles one by one, you can do so online through our reporting pages. And so basically, if I mouse over this link at the top, it gives me every page that you can, all the different pages you can provide information on. And so it's the same thing that what you'll see across these tabs at the top. And so when you go to the reporting pages at first, you end up on the main tractor tab. And then you have three sub-tabs, and the first one is the main page. The second one is your short-haul tractors. And then the third one is your local haul tractors. And so they require different information to be submitted, so that's why you split them out like that. And so on the main tractor page, basically, it's just all your tractors that you've entered into the system. And so basically, it's just identifying information. You have your VIN, your own asset ID that you give it, license plate number, model year, et cetera. And then over here, it has your reporting purpose. And so for tractors, they can either be local haul or short haul. And then there's also an other there in case in the future when you need to apply for some type of pass or something, you can still get it in there. And then there's the column of odometer reading. So for your short haul tractors, it does give you your odometer reading, for example, here for this vehicle right here. And it just gives you the miles and then the date underneath that you actually gave it, or that you put that you read it, actually. Not the date you provided, but the date you actually told us that you read it. And then the last column is basically the local haul base assignment. And so if they're not local haul tractors, you're not going to have anything there, just as NA. If they are and you haven't made an assignment, it gives you a link to do so. But basically, it takes you to the other pages that I'm going to cover after this page. But so on this page, what you can do is right here at the top, you can just edit. You can add whatever vehicle. I'm just going to just put in some random data here. Okay, so I'm just going to add this vehicle. And so underneath, you have three buttons here. One is enter and clear fields. So you enter this vehicle and you clear everything. And then the second option is enter data and add similar. And what this does is that if you have a lot of vehicles that are the same model, your same model, same registration status, whatever, you click that and it saves those fields in the form. And it just clears the identifying information, like the VIN, license plate, and your own asset ID. So if you want to add a lot of these vehicles, you can just keep adding them without re-entering the make, model, model year, et cetera. And so I'm just going to do that to show you what it does. So it entered the data. And so the vehicle's down here now somewhere. I think it's the first one right here. But see right here, lines 4 through 10 have stayed populated because you clicked that button. And so now you just have to provide the first three fields, and you're okay. Then you can go ahead and enter it. Now, when you enter data, there's going to be validation on everything. And there's certain things, errors that we catch that we consider critical, which require you to fix. There's others that we don't. And so, for example, license plate is one, I believe, that is not critical because you may not have a license plate yet for that vehicle. And so what it does is this. I'm just going to show you. It basically gives you an error message. It says, you forgot to enter your license plate number for this vehicle. But it also gives you the ability to enter the data anyway. So basically, you can go ahead and submit, and it'll still submit the information for that vehicle, and it'll leave the license plate field blank. But now it's basically pink because it doesn't think the system thinks there's something wrong with it. And so if you mouse over it, it gives you a little message that says you forgot to enter the license plate number of the vehicle. And so this, when you look at your table, basically any fields that you see are pink are things that we think maybe you need to address. Now, that doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. Maybe it is. But it just shows that it failed our validation. So it just brings it to your attention. Now, for example, something like this. Okay, it says VIN seems to be a duplicate, and that's because I put it in another fleet as well, the same vehicle. But it doesn't mean that your VIN is wrong. Maybe it is your VIN, and somebody else misentered it or something like that. But basically, it just tells you that we think there's something wrong with it. We also have the ability, so, I mean, some trailer fleets are very large or tractor fleets are very large. And so instead of looking for the vehicle down the list, you also have the ability just to look for, just to enter it into this field and just search it. And then you can just, you can edit it that way. So if I were to just paste the VIN in there and hit edit, this form is populated with that vehicle's information. And so you can edit it and go ahead and submit it. And it works the same for your asset ID. So, and that's just any name, any ID you want to give it to help you track those vehicles that make sense to you. Also you have the ability to download the information as a CSV. Now, you're not really going to be able to use that CSV to give that information back to us, but if you want to just save the data for yourself and review it at a later time, you can just hit that, and then you can save it, and then... you can open it with Excel. Now, I'm not sure if this is going to default to Excel, but yeah. So basically, you have all the vehicles in an Excel spreadsheet as a CSV that you can open up in Excel or some other spreadsheet program that can handle CSVs. And then you can just view your data that you have on the system. Okay. And then so... on this page, I have a lot of short and local haul vehicles. And so now I want to manage my short haul tractors. And so I'm just going to click here. And so basically now all it shows is all the tractors that you've told us are short haul tractors. It has the odometer readings here that you've provided. If not, it just gives you a box that says not reported. And then the ability to enter new odometer readings and dates and the dates of the read dates. And so how this page works is you can fill out as much as you want without hitting the submit. So you can fill out for every vehicle before hitting the submit button. So I've added a submit button every 10 rows because if you have a long list of vehicles, in the submit button's at the very bottom, then you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom just to get that submit button. And so I've added it every 10 rows, but this does not mean that it only applies to the 10 vehicles above it. It actually submits the entire page if you hit that submit button. So I'm just going to... If I were to add a VIN like that, I can add one here too. And then just hit submit. It submit both of those, the VINs for both of those vehicles. And then so you can also click on the link of the odometer reading, and it basically gives you a table of what you've reported for that, a history, basically, a history of your odometer readings. And it just displays it there at the top. So if I entered another one here, it adds that in, and then so if you clicked on the odometer reading, it gives you a table of, and it shows that the last two readings and the dates that you read them. So so on the managed local haul tractors, it's basically where you make local haul base assignments. So I have two local haul bases in there, and so I'll just select this one. This one doesn't have an assignment yet, and I hit submit add, submit adds and updates. And then what happens now is that it basically, once you've made your selection, the current system is set up that it locks you out for 24 hours of making another selection. And this is just kind of to prevent abuse of the system. But so right here it just shows there's going to be a 24-hour wait period, and it tells you when, what time and date you'll be able to update that information again, and which is basically 24 hours. And so the trailer page looks very, it looks like almost identical to this. And so when we get to there, you'll see that. And so the next main tab here is trailers. And so if you hit trailers, it's going to take you over there. And it looks, it works very similarly as the tractor page. You have the form field at the top where you can actually put in the trailers. And then you have the list of trailers at the bottom with all the relevant information. You have a reporting purpose. Is it storage, local haul? Is it in the compliance plan? Is it one of those refrigerated trailers that qualifies for the delay? It has TRU information, if applicable, in local haul base. I'm not going to go into too much detail on this because it's basically the same thing. Except, you know, that the reporting purposes are different. So I'm going to go to the next page, the local haul trailers, which is very similar to what we saw on the tractors. You have the fields on the right where you can make the assignments. Again, you're locked out for 24 hours after making a selection. You can sort by any of these fields. I forgot to mention that. If you want to sort by VIN, you can click VIN. You can sort. So anything that contains both letters and numbers, sometimes the sorting is kind of screwy because it does doesn't know how to interpret how to sort it, but you know, certain fields where it's all text, for example, you get a very clear, you know, alphabetic order, stuff like that. If it's all numbers like model year, you get that. So all the different tables, as long as you see the link up there, you can sort by that column. This is the compliance the phased in page, and probably should add more vehicles to this page to kind of demo it, so give me a second there. I'm going to skip this page for now. This is the local haul base tab. So this is the third main tab, and this is where you actually enter your local haul bases and you can edit them. And again, it looks the same. It works the same, very similar to the tractor and trailer pages. You have the ones you've added down low. You have the empty form field at the top, empty form at the top. You have the ability to edit. You have the ability. One thing I forgot to mention is that you have the ability to delete. And so I'll show you on the tractor page since there's more vehicles. But when you actually delete a vehicle, it actually doesn't delete it from the system. It just marks it as inactive. This was something that in previous reporting workshops they asked for, because some people might delete a vehicle by accident, and then they want the ability to recover it. And so, for example, if I were to delete it, it asks me, do you really want to delete it? Yes. And then it asks you for why you're deleting it, entered an error. And so there's two reasons you can delete it. You entered it in error, or you transferred it, meaning you either sold it, retired it, whatever, scrapped it. It's gone. And so now it's at the bottom. It shows that it's at the very bottom of your vehicle table in a section that follows a pink bar that says deleted vehicles are listed below with the status deleted. Now, the tables are structured to only show 200 vehicles at a time. So where you'd find the deleted vehicle, if you had multiple pages, your deleted vehicles would be on the last few pages. So, okay, and then so I'm going to go. So the last page here is finalized reporting. And this is once you've entered all your data and you've reviewed it, you've looked through it, and you've looked at all the pink boxes and you think they're all okay, you go ahead and you just say, I tested the information, it's true and correct. You type in your name. And then your phone number. And then you just finalize changes. And it says data successfully finalized. And so now if you go back to the home, it says finalized until changes are made. And all the reporting pages, you had a red message at the top that said, I'll bring it back just so you can see it. Unless you probably saw it already, but I'll just bring it back in case you didn't enter anyway. So he says, please finalize your changes here before logging out. Your reporting is not complete until it's been finalized. And so you'll see this on every page until you actually finalize it. So now I'm going to talk about the spreadsheet. And this is basically for bulk loading data. And so I'm going to start out. So actually, no. Okay, now I've got to find my spreadsheet. Give me a second here. Okay, so when you start out with the data, when you open your when you open this spreadsheet for the first time, you're only going to get one page, and it says intro. And basically what it does, it just gives you some information of how to use a spreadsheet, and it goes through some tests to make sure that your Excel is working in a way that the spreadsheet functions as it's supposed to. So the first thing that you need to know is, besides the regular, it just kind of tells you the reg information here, and this is for the reporting for the reg information. But the really, on step one, the very most important thing is that you have to make sure your macros are enabled on Excel. And for those of you who don't know what macros are, basically they're just background programming in the Excel that does certain things. And usually by default they're off, unless you have a very low security setting. By default they're usually off. Most systems, when you open the spreadsheet, it'll give you a prompt of some sort to ask you if you want to enable macros or enable content. Now, you have to click yes, because if you don't, the spreadsheet's not going to work. Now, if your security settings are really high, you're not even going to get that prompt. And so if you don't get that prompt, you need to learn how to reduce your security settings so you do get that prompt. And that's going to be in a document right here. There's going to be a link to that document here that shows you how to do it in Excel's 2003, 2007, 2010. You can also Google. That information's online. You can find out how to do it. But so basically the first thing you do is you can do is test if macros are on. Now, if you basically it says click to test macros. And at the top it just says it's going to turn green if macros are on. So I click it. It turns green. That means macros are on. So I write a little button here to reset the test. Okay? So because it turns green, I know macros are on. So I can continue to go on. And so step two, it tells you to verify that you have the most current version of the spreadsheet. And so the version of the spreadsheet's at the very top. It says 2.0.01. Right now we're accepting basically version 2. So if it's 2 point something, most likely you'll take it. We might start editing certain things, but it's not going to affect the way it's uploaded. And so you just have to make sure it's the most current version. And the way you can do that is actually through the online page. It's actually going to be on this upload page as well. But right now where I have it is on the front login page. It says currently accepting spreadsheet version 2.0.01. And then there's going to be a link to the spreadsheet, a blank spreadsheet. The link doesn't work right now, but it will once the system goes live. And then so step three, it just helps you determine if you really need to report or not. Some people may not know whether they need to report, and so they can read this little summary to see, okay, do I need to report? And then in step four is where they actually create the spreadsheet for the reporting forms for themselves, because not everybody needs to report everything. And so what it does is basically it gives you the worksheets that are required for whatever you need it for. And so the first question is, are you reporting tractors, trailers, or both? And so if I select both, it's going to give me both the trailer and tractor page. The radio buttons are selected on here because I previously used it, but when you get it, they're going to be cleared. And then the second question is, are you seeking a local haul tractor trailer exemption? Yes, and what it does is it gives you a worksheet to actually add local haul bases. It also gives you two additional pages. One is finish, where basically this is the page you go to when you're done to create your upload files, and then a lookup table, which is basically the information that we use for all our drop-downs through the form. And so I'm going to go through these pages. So first is the trailer page. I've added some dummy data in there. Basically, you have just all the identifying information, same thing what you had online. And then basically, when you first use the form, you're only going to get basically ability to add 25 vehicles. If you need more, you can click here to add more rows. And the reason this is done this way is because the validation that's built behind the fields take up a lot of space. And so if we were to just say 10,000 rows with the same validation functions as all these, it would make the file huge. And so we limit it this way. And if you need more, you just click here to add more rows. And basically it adds more rows. And it adds 25 at a time. So one important thing to know is that if you want to paste into here, you got to make sure you have enough rows. So if you're going to be pasting 1,000 vehicles, you have to keep clicking this button until you get 1,000 rows, and then you can go ahead and paste. Now, another thing is when you're pasting, you need to make sure that you paste values only, because if you don't, you're going to defeat certain validation functions in the spreadsheet. And if you do, it doesn't kill the upload per se, but what happens is that if you do have errors, the upload process is not going to catch them. And so it's for your own benefit to keep the validation in there, or you're going to maybe get frustrated when you're actually trying to upload the files and they're not taking because of errors. Okay, so for example, I'll just select a number of 8 vehicles, and I'm just going to paste it. I'm just going to try to paste it down here. Basically, it gives you a message saying use paste values or text only. And then so I'm just going to do paste special and then values. So now what happens is I pasted it. And because I didn't defeat the validation, what it does is it's telling me that all these VINs I just posted in are actually duplicates. And so it's going to go to each row, it's going to validate, and it's going to delete it because it's going to say, hey, these are all duplicates. You can't have duplicate VINs. And what happens is if you have a duplicate VIN in here, how the system handles it is that it's going to overwrite the information you had above, the previous vehicle with the same VIN. And so, you know, that's like a data accuracy issue, and it's going to be very hard for you to track that online if you're going to know which vehicle you actually, especially if you have thousands of vehicles, which vehicle has incorrect information. Also, another thing is that we have drop-downs for certain fields, such as trailer manufacturer. Some people may have a lot of trailers of the same manufacturer. They don't want to click on each one to select that. And so, if you have, for example, Benson, and you want to put Benson for all your trailers or a large number of trailers, what you can do is right-click this bottom right little square and drag it. And then the reason I use the right mouse key versus the left is because I want to fill without formatting. Because if you fill with formatting, it could mess up the validation. So that you can do, and then you can go ahead and drag fill like that. Now, all the different columns here has a little help icon. Basically, if you select that cell, it just gives you a little little brief direction of what you can do with that column. And so, like I said before, you have all these drop-down menus, and so I'm just going to jump over to the lookup table real quick just to show you what's there. And basically, all the drop-downs are based on this lookup table. So, for example, you have trailer make, trailer manufacturer. It's just a list of all the manufacturers that we know of. And that's what populates the drop-down for trailer manufacturer. And so so basically it's all just general trailer information, and then right here it asks what reporting action you're doing, and basically you're saying we're doing the compliance plan, local haul registration, storage trailer, whatever, and that's where you select it. And then once you're done with the trailer, you move on. If you have tractors, you move on to the tractor tab. And it works very similar, same thing, same way. You have to add field, add rows if you need them. Everything works the same way. And then local haul base works the same way. Different local haul bases in here. But once you're done filling out everything, you go to the finish tab. And basically what you're going to get is a blank field here. And this is where you need your trucker's ID. And so it says your trucker's ID is not your username and password, I just put that there because a lot of people thought that's what they were supposed to put there. But no, you need to put your trucker's ID in there. And so I'm going to go look up the trucker's ID I want to use. So I'm going to log into my account. And so I'm going to load them into Demonstration Fleet. And so it's the number is 17031, and so that's what I'm going to use. So I'm going to type that there, 17031. And then basically it asks you to click here just to kind of, it just basically does a quick check if it's actually a number, because it has to be a number. It appears valid, that's what it says. And then once you're done, you can click the upload files button right here. And what that does, it actually goes through your pages, looks for any data. If there's data on that page, it's going to create it's going to ask you to create an upload file for that. And so I'm going to hit OK. And it's going to go to each file and ask me if I want to create them. So first it says, do I want to create the trucker's trailer upload file? I'm just going to say no because I already have files, because it's going to overwrite the files you have in that folder. I'm going to click no for the tractor. I'm going to click no for the local haul base because I already have them created. But basically, it's going to create those files and save them in the same folder you have your spreadsheet is saved. And so what happens, what you need to be aware of is that if you've created previous spreadsheet files, it's going to overwrite them. And so if you want to save those previous files you uploaded, move them to a different folder and then do the process after that. Okay, so start the upload, then I go back into the trucker's online system. I'm here on the fleet list. I'm going to select the fleet I want to work on, I want to upload for. It takes me to that same intro reporting page. And then so now I'm just going to go to that top link at the top for upload page. And then I'm going to scroll down to where I actually have the area where you can load the vehicles in. And so again, here it tells you right here what your trucker's ID is and what the fleet name is, just to make sure just to remind you again, this is who you're reporting for. And then here it has the ability, it has a drop down here to select what file you want to upload. And so basically, I'm going to just select trailer and I'm going to browse for it. And I have it on my desktop here. So I'm going to look for it. Which one did I say I was going to do? Trailer. Okay. My file's right there. I'm going to select it. I'm going to say open. And then I'm going to click upload file. Now, I have to recreate the. The reason I got the error, and this is this red text down here is an error in coding. I have to go fix that. But the reason I got the error here was because the trucker's ID that I created the old files with is not the same as the trucker's ID I'm using now. So I'm actually going to have to recreate these upload files with the new trucker's ID. So yes. Okay. Now I'm going to go to back into the system and I'm going to redo it. So I'm going to go select the trailer. I'm going to go browse for the file. This should be the new file now. I'm going to open and I'm going to upload file. And so now it took it. 20 trailers successfully uploaded. And so now all those trailers are in the system and you can go back to the report online page. And also I just want to show, if you go to the report online page, it's like you can actually, it brings down a nav panel, which is on our main website as well. This the same format. It doesn't have the same content, but the same format. But you can go straight to trailers or local haul bases or compliance plan, whatever you want. But right now I'm going to go to trailers because I just loaded data in trailers. And then it takes me to the trailer page and I can look at my trailers. And so now that I have more phase-in trailers, I'm going to demo the compliance plan. So now I have all these trailers, the trailer that I just loaded. And so you would do the same process for tractors and your local haul bases, but I'm going to skip that because it's basically the same thing, except that on the drop-down menu, you select the other file and you browse for that file. Same way. So it works the same way. But so now I'm on the compliance plan page, and this is where you actually tell us what years you're going to be doing your trailers. So now, so basically on this page can be a little bit confusing at first, but basically this first the column where you can actually select changes is where you do your compliance year assignments. And so let's just say I want to do that one in compliance year one. I want to do that one in compliance year two or three. And then I can hit submit and submit adds and updates, and it's going to do it for all three of those vehicles. So now this column that used to be empty now has which compliance year you're going to do them. So you would do this for any early compliance trailers you have, any delayed compliance trailers you have. You can also do an unassign, which clears the compliance year assignment for that year. Now what happens is after compliance year one passes, you won't be able to do anything with compliance year one anymore. Once compliance year two passes, you won't be able to do anything with compliance year two information anymore. But up until that point, you can. And so on the right here, we have the ability to tell us when you actually brought the trailer into compliance. And so the ways of bringing it into compliance is either you retrofitted it, you're restricting it from California operation, or you removed it from your fleet. In your case, where you want to make it a local haul trailer, the system's not capable of handling that yet. You might have to call us, and we do that on a case-by-case basis, at least for now. But these are the three ways you can bring a trailer into compliance, quote unquote compliance, under our rule. But these are permanent. So the expectation is, if you say you retrofitted it and you put it in there, it's permanent. It's locked. It's something you can't change. So, and if you did do it by error, right now you'd have to call us. If there's time, we may build in the system where there's the functionality where you can actually change it if you did make an error. But right now you would actually have to call us. So, you know, it's good to make sure what you're putting in is correct. But so I just said I retrofitted this first trailer. And then now it says it's locked, but basically it says it was retrofitted on June 9, 2011. So also you can say, I just want to show you if I removed it from my fleet. I just wanted to kind of show you. Basically, if you're removed from your fleet, it basically doesn't exist in your fleet anymore. So what happens is, but we still have to show it because, you know, you still need a record that you had it, and that's part of your compliance plan. But on the main trailer page now, that's going to be lumped in at the bottom with your deleted trailers. So now it's under the deleted line, and it just says it's removed from C plan. So basically, it was part of your compliance plan, and you got rid of it. And it counts toward your percentage. Now, one of the things I did here was, you can actually bulk assign compliance years through an upload process. And so basically, I'm just going to download this CSV so I have a list of VINs. And so to kind of show you how this can be done. So I'm going to download this. I'm going to open it. So basically, it took that information on that page and it opened it up. It saved it as a CSV and I opened it up in Excel. And so basically, I have a list of VINs. So let's go. Okay. So I'm going to keep this open. I'm going to move back to the reporting page. And then I'm going to go to the upload page. And so at the very bottom of the upload page, it gives you the ability to make compliance year assignments by just entering the VIN into a large text area. The text area is designed to accommodate about 1,000 lines. And so you could put in 1,000 trailers, approximately. And so here, what you would do is, okay, what assignments do I want to make? And so I can select early compliance trailer, compliance year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or delayed compliance trailers. I'm just going to say compliance year 3. The second question asks whether you want to clear all existing compliance year 3 trailers before doing the upload. And so this would be kind of like a replace of everything that you've said is compliance year 3. If you click no, what it does is it'll update those that have assignments, and then it would add the ones that don't. And so if you put in, like, say, 5 VINs, and there were 5 other VINs in the system that already had compliance year 3, you would end up with 10 trailers with compliance year 3. Now, if you said, yes, I want to clear it, you're going to end up with five, but only with the new five, and the old five would have been cleared. It would just have an empty cell for where it says compliance here. So I hope you guys understand that. But so I'm just going to hold it in clear, even though I don't think I have any compliance here, three trailers. But it just says, are you sure you want to clear assignments before upload? Because that might be a big deal if you have a lot of trailers. So it just asks you that to make confirms that. And so I'm going to go back to this spreadsheet now and say, okay, I want to do these trailers. I can just copy them, the VINs from that row, from that column, go to the spreadsheet, and I can paste them in. Now, I can also just type them in. So I'm just going to type some fake VINs here. Okay, then I need to change that because I was for testing. I made it 10 line limit thing, but that's good that I found that. So I'm just going to put that fake VIN in, a VIN that's actually not in my fleet at the very bottom, and I'm going to click submit. And so what it did now is that it only shows that last VIN because all the other VINs were successfully entered. And so it shows that last VIN, and then at the bottom it just says, identifying information about this trailer is missing. You have either not yet entered this trailer into Truckers or you have removed the trailer out of your fleet. And so because it doesn't exist in the system, it catches it and says, no, we can't insert it. We can't put the information in. And on the right here, you have a status counter saying that one assignment cleared before upload, meaning there was one trailer in there that with compliance year three assignment, and that cleared that. And then it inserted nine trailers, which I had were the nine that were good VINs, valid VINs. And then it says one trailer not entered, which is the one right here that encountered the error. So now if I go back to that reporting page, to the compliance plan page, those VINs that I selected now have all compliance year three on them. And so basically, I just bulk assign those nine vehicles right there. And so if you have a large fleet, this is probably the better way to do it. I mean, selecting drop downs for every one probably isn't the best way. So that's how you use this page. If you're eligible for early compliance, there'll be a table right here above that you can't see right now, but maybe I could change some settings here to get that to show. Okay, I didn't click it. Okay. So I'm going to just say this is an early compliance trailer, meaning that it was in compliance before January 1st, 2010. So not a lot of fleets have these, but there are a few. Okay, I just selected two. It's processing right now. Okay, so I changed those to early compliance trailers. So now I get this table. I go back to the compliance plan page, and I have this table at the top with early compliance option information. So if you're not eligible, it doesn't show. If you are, it does show. And basically, it says that you have two trailers that you've said are compliant, and then you have two trailers that you can actually give the assignment of early compliance trailer. Now, these numbers could be different if you know the regulation pretty well or know the early compliance portion of the regulation because we cap the number of early compliance trailers you can have. And so you may have 50 trailers that are compliant, were compliant before January 1st, 2010, but maybe you can only assign 20 of them as early compliance trailers, designate 20 of them as early compliance trailers. And so these numbers could be different. And so down here now you have this column that says early compliance trailer. It says yes. So if you go into that drop-down, it actually has the option to make it an early compliance trailer. Now you don't see it on the other trailers because you can't do those. So I'm just going to make that assignment. And then it tells me I did it. And then it tells me now, because I've made that one assignment, I can delay the compliance of another trailer. And so I can take one of these non-compliant ones now and make it a delayed compliance trailer, meaning I can delay that one extra year past the phase-in, if anyone's familiar with the early compliance program. And so basically, under that table, or the first line, without the table, it'd be up here, is your compliance base. And that's what you base your phase-in numbers on, the percentages. You multiply it to your compliance base to get the number of trailers you need to do a year. And so this changes depending on how many early compliance trailers you have. Okay? So that's why there's an asterisk there. It just says that the value could change depending on what you assign, you know, how many early compliance trailers you have and how many you assign. And based on this compliance base number, you have the table below that tells you what you need to do each year. Now, this is so if there's a pink box in that compliance year, it means you didn't do enough. And so basically what it's like says here in that first row, it tells you how many you need to do each year, and on the bottom it tells you how many you've done or how many you've assigned. And so in compliance year one, it said I had to do 4, but I have 0. So I'm just gonna show you after I assign 4 trailers to compliance year 4. Oh, hold on. I gotta refresh. Okay. Another thing I have to fix. That's why this. Okay. It's not counting the trailer. No, never mind. My error. I was supposed to make the 4 trailers compliance year 1. I made them compliance year 4. Sorry about that. Let's do that again. Let's try that again. Okay, there you go. So I've assigned 4 trailers compliance year 1, and because the number is good enough to meet compliance year 1 requirement, it turns it green. And so basically it says now that you would be out of compliance for years 2, 3, 4, and 5 because based on just what you've assigned. And so that's how this page works. And so basically I think that's all the pages. Those are all the pages. And again, once you're done with that, you should finalize your data. You could do it through this page. And then I'm just going to log out here. So basically I'm done covering the layout here of the system. And so I'm just going to log out to show you one more thing, is that if you do forget your password, there's a link here to retrieve it. Now if you click it, basically it adds for your username, email address, and the last name of the account contact. And then you hit submit, and what it does, it resends the password to your email address. And then so I'm thinking there's some talk about taking username out of there because some people might just forget their username. And so that's still kind of being discussed internally. But this is just so you can retrieve your password, since a lot of people in the last go-around lost their passwords, and they were pretty cryptic to remember, and since they're kind of randomly it's a randomly generated string. So okay, well, that's the system. So I guess, are there any questions? Or are you guys thoroughly confused?
And before we get to that, I just wanted to highlight a couple things, too, that this training is going to be on calspan.org. So if you ever wanted to go through it again, you'll have an opportunity to go online and go through it again. And also a couple questions that were asked I wanted to update. And one was the acquisition of another company. And we have language in the rule that allows for absorption and reallocation, but you have to make a request to the ARB or our executive officer for that. And so we do allow for companies that are growing and acquiring other companies to be able to use their phase-in and comply that way and reallocate the new trailers that they've purchased through an acquisition. The other question, issue brought up, one question with the leasing company is, when you were going through this tutorial here that David has done, it locks you out for the selection of a local haul base for 24 hours, which means that you can go back and change your local haul base in the next day if you want to. And that's only true for the case of when you travel empty with that trailer. Once you've asked for a pass to travel, that for the trailer to travel for 30 days, as a loaded trailer, that's when it locks you out for 30 days. So in your situation for the lease, as a leasing trailers, if they're going empty to your customers, then you can, every 24 hours, you can actually select a new local haul base for that trailer. So it provides that flexibility. So I just wanted to cover that again just to make that clear. And then we'll start taking your questions on the reporting or any other questions you have.
Does the password stay the same from the last website, the original truck? Okay.
Yes.
We operate a large fleet of trailers, and we're retrofitting the skirts. We have basically selected a year of the the year of the trailers forward, but we don't know exactly which ones are coming in when we're doing them as they come in. So how do we handle that? Because I have no idea which trailer's coming in when we're going to do it.
So back when we were, should I go back in the system just to kind of show you? But basically you have until the end of the year to do whatever trailers you need to do for that year.
Well, that's the problem. I don't know which. You've got a specific trailer with an option of define which year you're going to do it. Am I misunderstanding that?
Okay, so like for example, if you're going to, let me just go to the page. So basically, for compliance year one, for example, you'll have the ability to make those assignments until December 31st of this year. And so you just do them as you do them this year, and you don't need to tell us. And then, but once they come in, you do them.
Okay, so once I retrofit them, then go
right.
Back. Okay.
And then you come in at the end of the year and you tell us.
Okay, we're good then.
That's what we did, compliance year one. Yeah.
Yes, I have 10 trucks that are working in the drayage industry hauling port containers. Do I have to register those in the greenhouse?
Yeah, if they're the containers on spine chassis, those are not included in this rule, so you're not affected by at all by the rule. If your tractors pull 53-foot trailers that are loaded on flat cars once in a while, then you'll just have to be aware that you'll have to operate those within a 100-mile radius of where you picked up that trailer or where you're delivering it to the rail yard. And so you're exempt if you're operating on that. And so you don't have to report anything. You just have to make sure that you have the documentation and a bill of lading that shows that you're coming from the port or from a rail yard or going to.
What about on the smart tires? Are those trucks also under this rule?
No. If you're a drayage, strictly drayage, then this rule doesn't apply to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, we have another one.
Just one more. I think this was already solved, but a tractor that is not named as local haul or short haul can haul short haul trailers, correct? I know originally
no short haul trailer. There's only a short haul tractor.
Local haul trailers, rather.
Yeah.
If there's any tractor can haul a local haul trailer, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
With tires, so you have to have the compliant tires.
Just a quick question. On page 31 of the presentation, the SmartWay Verified Aerodynamic Technologies, this is the first time I've noticed the fourth bullet item purchased directly from the device manufacturer dealer. Can you expand on that a little bit? That means I have to buy new low rolling resistance tires and or new freight wings or skirts for the trailers. There's no option of switching amongst equipment or anything of that sort?
No, it's just we just want to make it clear that when you try to come into compliance with your trailer, you don't have to purchase the SmartWay certified trailer from a manufacturer. You can actually purchase a non-certified trailer and retrofit it yourself and get the components from dealers or from the manufacturer.
Do I have to get the components from a dealer or manufacturer?
No, you can get it from, like you said, from an existing pool of, let's say you're getting rid of a trailer and you have installed already compliant technology. You can take those off of your old equipment and put it on your new equipment.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay, I think we'll go to the web page now to see if we have any email questions.
Oh yeah, right. You want to take it off the screen, right?
Can you do that remotely?
Can you do it remotely, take it off the screen, or do you have to do it from up here, from the laptop?
To take the image?
Yeah, just to toggle it?
Yeah, toggle.
Okay, go ahead and toggle off of it.
Function F5, I believe.
Oh, okay. Didn't do anything. No, F5 just says brightness. That could be this one. No. Well, now it's, oh, okay. I think we got it. Yeah, thank you. You're going to have to log in again. I think it jumped out.
Okay, it doesn't look like we have any more any questions coming in. I know some people on the webcast had some problems accessing it, but this is going to be, like I said, available on calspan.org. We're also getting a copy of it, and we're going to put it on our website as well so people can view the video on from our website. That's going to take a little while before we get that up, but if you want to take a look at it, it's going to be available tomorrow, I believe, on CalSpan. So.
And also, for anyone who missed the presentation today, we are doing another webcast next week on Wednesday, June 15th. That's going to be up in Sacramento at the Byron Scherer Auditorium. That one will be webcast as well. So if anyone you know missed it today, they have another opportunity to view it next week. And that's going to be, again, from 11:30 to 3 o'clock. So there's another opportunity to see the training if you want to participate via webcast. Or you can also show up at this one at the Cal EPA building in Sacramento.
That does it for thank you for attending the training. And we'll be around for a little bit if you had any other questions you want to ask us offline. So thank you.
Thank you.